You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the cause of Christ throughout the world. Today we have Zach Maloney. He's a hospice chaplain, but he's got a long history. He worked as associate pastor at Tippett Chapel, where I was at a couple of years ago. He did his studies at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and then ended up going over now where he's working with patients in the hospice setting. So, Zach, so good to get you on with us today, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, Eddie. I really appreciate really all the resources that you kind of put out, specifically this podcast. So I appreciate you having me on today.
Well, hey, we appreciate you stopping in. And Zach, you've got kind of an interesting history. You studied at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and seems like I remember the clinical pastoral education, something kind of happening along that way. Tell our listeners what happened after you did your CPE internship there at Wake Med a few years ago in your life.
Yeah, so I was visiting people from our from the church there, Tippett's Chapel, and I actually met a chaplain at the hospital there in Wake Med, and he kind of described the clinical pastoral education program. I was kind of picking his brain about that particular training, and I did not realize that it's actually a national program. If you're going to go into any kind of clinical setting, you have to have sort of that CPE training. And so I enrolled in my first unit of CPE the fall of 2018. And it really kind of put me in a lot of uncomfortable situations. Wake Med is a level one trauma center. So you see a lot of pretty terrible things. And, I really appreciate the way that they kind of help you to look introspectively. You know, tell us about that visit you've had. How did that make you feel? What did you learn about yourself? And that happened a lot in that training. And it was actually during that time that my grandfather was on hospice in the fall of 2018 during that first unit of CPE. And ironically enough, he was on the hospice service that I work for today.
Wow.
Ohio's Hospice of Dayton. And so a couple years down the road, I'm now working for them, the same hospice company that took care of him. And I don't know if enjoy is the right word, but I like the work that I do, and I like my team too. So.
Well, it's important. It's rewarding, having quite an impact. And it really goes along with this article you wrote for us in One Magazine about the will of God, I think. So I do want to encourage our listeners to check out, if they would, the One Magazine, the June, July issue, and in particular, check out Zach Maloney's article, Finding God's Will, because really that's what you were doing, and I guess we all are doing as we go along. What would God have me to do? So share with us a bit about that and how it even connects to your journey to where you're at today.
Yeah, you know, finding God's will is it's a discussion that comes up a lot. I think especially for people kind of going through college or graduate school. I think there was a study done that, you know, we make about 35,000 conscious decisions a day. And so one of the things that we want to do is really look at how can I make decisions to the glory of God? What can I do to use everything in my power for leverage for the gospel? And so one of the things I kind of point out in the article there, it's really not so much a problem finding God's will. It's just the practice sometimes of where we might get into a mistake. But I mentioned two kind of methods there. You have God's revealed will and God's concealed will. And another method that you might hear is God's sovereign will or God's moral will or God's individual will. I've heard of some folks describe this as like an archery target. So you have God's sovereign will and God's moral will, and then God's individual will sort of in the center. And I guess if I could just kind of define those, God's revealed will, God's moral will is scripture. It's what we find in his word. It's he's certainly not hiding what he wants us to do. I think it was Carl Henry that said it's a disclosure of his reality. He's telling us how he wants us to live. And then there's God's individual will, where those questions of what job should I take? Mm-hmm. What car should I buy? Who should I marry? Or where should I live? Those types of questions that can be kind of overwhelming, you know, as you try to decide between those areas. So I hope that framework is kind of helpful. It's described in a couple different ways. I mentioned in the article God's revealed will and God's concealed will.
Mm-hmm. And so, you alluded to all the decisions that we make on a daily basis. And so you're getting at the revealed will. We can know a lot of what God would have us to do by reading the word and trying to apply it, the Great Commission, those kinds of things. It gets hard with the individual will, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the overwhelming part. Historically, Christians have really emphasized following God's will, not necessarily trying to discover his will. I don't think scripture ever encourages us to try to find the secret path, mm-hmm. or try to find the secret individual will, or we have to work up enough to try to find that, but rather it's about following God's will and looking at those passages that really tell us seek first the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And God really kind of provides that for us. I think there's a passage that I mentioned, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, where scripture is clear that he's given us everything required for life and godliness. Now, there may not be specific answers, especially for a lot of hot topic ethical issues today, but scripture is certainly capable of guiding us through wisdom, encourages us to ask for wisdom through prayer.
And so we started out talking a little bit about your own journey. If you were to go back in time and look at your life like 10 years ago, would you see yourself where you're at today? And part of that is you're trying to follow the revealed will. You're trying to follow God's individual will for your own life. Really, you've lived out what you've written here in this article, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I never would have dreamed I'd be doing what I'm doing now. I think that God really kind of guided a lot of decisions I was making. I certainly did not plan for this at all. But I think one of the things that we want to kind of focus in on, I had a professor in graduate school, Dr. David Jones, and he taught a course on knowing and doing God's will. And he used a term called spiritual expediency. And he kind of unpacked that and talked about, you know, look at your gifts. Mm-hmm. If you have a gift of teaching, then that kind of opens the door to really any number of areas. You can be a pastor. You can teach somewhere, maybe in your own local church. I feel like for me, a gift of teaching, a gift of I like to let people know that I care, show empathy, and that the job that I currently have lets me do that every single day. Mm-hmm. Going back though to the individual will, I don't want it to seem like it's a bad thing to maybe seek that out, maybe a specific answer, so to speak. God certainly can speak to us. You see that in Scripture. You see God speaking with an audible voice to people in the Old and New Testament. Those folks certainly weren't looking out for that voice. They were following God's moral will.
Yeah.
You look at the example of Joseph. Mm-hmm. If you were to ask the same question him that you just asked me, you know, he would have never dreamed that those things probably would have happened, but he was following God's moral will. And you asked the question, you know, earlier, how does this kind of show up in my own life and practice? I would probably say a lot of my hospice patients, if I'm present during that end of life moment, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say almost 75% of them, maybe even higher, will see loved ones prior to their passing. Sort of a kind of an extra revelation there that is kind of odd to see during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so can God certainly do those things? Absolutely. God can do whatever he wants. He can speak to those things. But in terms of following God's will for our lives, we want to look at what's normative, mm-hmm. what's revealed in Scripture. Mm-hmm. So I would say that following God's individual will for your life is simply applying God's moral will to your life. That will put you in an area that he's most pleased with.
Good. And you come back to the expediency part that you mentioned, you know, the gifting, the opportunities. It's probably not an accident you ran into that chaplain at Wake Med, you know, and you start looking at every step along the way and you can see, oh, okay, sometimes looking back, how God was at work in all of that. But because you're following the Scripture.
Right. Yeah. And the spiritual expediency part is very helpful. And honestly, when you think about it in these terms of what am I gifted at? And certainly that involves the local church, people speaking into your life, close friends. It's very liberating because you don't have to try to figure out every single thing. I met someone, I had a discussion one time with someone and they were looking to go into work for a particular church. And the discussion involved, well, I just don't know. I want to make sure it's God's will, because if I end up going to this church, and it's not God's will for me to go to that specific church, then it would cause a ripple effect, you know, for other people. And, you know, I don't think that that's helpful at all. I think that it's very liberating to know that God has really told us in his word how he wants us to live. And so going back to that spiritual expediency, what is the best way that I can really deploy my gifts mm-hmm. for the kingdom of God in this world?
That's good. So, you know, Romans 12 talks about that. Take a sober assessment. And, you know, then he lists the spiritual gifts after saying, you know, don't be conformed to the world and basically follow the Scripture. So really, what you're saying is that's what we really would benefit from doing. And then maybe not worry so much, just go use those gifts and he's going to make that work.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned the passage there in Romans, I think 1 Corinthians 12,
mm-hmm.
You know, I would actually even say that it, it's probably sinful to not use those gifts.
Absolutely.
We don't want to hide those under a bushel. We want to use those gifts for the edification of the body. That's what they're meant for. So scripture encourages us to use those gifts, and you can use those for any number of different areas, which is liberating to think through.
Well, hey, we appreciate you stopping in, seeing us today, and spending some time with us. We appreciate the good work that you're doing. Think about all these people that you get to interact with at the end of their life, and what an opportunity that is. So thank you, Zach, for the good work you're doing and for sharing with us and writing this article for us as well.
Thank you, Eddie. I really appreciate it. And thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, buddy. And thank you for listening. We encourage you to take this podcast. You know someone that would benefit. Please share it with them if you can. Like it on social media and so forth. Do what you can to help us get the word out. Because remember, we truly are better when we work together. We're better together.